while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
When I was asked to speak today, I said, wow. The first thing that came into my mind was David and his exuberant dance that he did in 2 Samuel. Let me bring up my... In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, he danced so much. So as I was coming, this was the song that was on my mind. When the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will sing as David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will dance as David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will clap as David clapped. He was in a state of thanksgiving. Nothing else mattered. All that mattered was his praise to God. He didn't care whether he was going to dance naked or jump or whatever. It was all to God. He was so excited about this. You see, the problem with us is that very often we forget that God has emotions. God has emotions too. He feels things very deeply. The Bible tells us that God grieves. God gets jealous. God gets angry. God feels compassion, pity, sorrow, sympathy, as well as happiness, gladness, and satisfaction. God loves. God delights. God gets pleasure and he rejoices. He even laughs. God does that. Revelations 4:11 tells us, you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. And also in Psalms 149, verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. We were created to put a smile on God's face. Everything we do that delights God is what was his will. That was what he created us to do. Giving thanks to God is one of our purposes here on this earth. We have no excuse ever not to thank God. An independent journal recorded this. It says, if you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are among the top 75% of the people in this world. If you have money in your bank account, your wallet, and some spare change, you are among the top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million people who will not survive this week. According to the Office of the National Statistics, 1,750 people die each day in the United Kingdom alone. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture, all the horrible pangs of starvation, then you are luckier than 500 million people alive today and suffering. So what is your excuse for not giving thanks? Give thanks to the Lord and pray to Him is the command given to us in this psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 105. We all want to be thanked for the things that we do. I will never forget an incident one day. I was driving down a narrow road. Cars parked left and right. As I was coming, there were enough parking spaces for me to park for other cars to pass me by. But I just drove on, meeting a car that was coming. So I forced the driver to stop in not so good a place for me to pass. I had to slowly negotiate past this car. And as I came side to side with the driver, he popped out his head and said, "Thank you." I was going. Just then it struck me that, wow, I was the one who should have said thank you to him for stopping for me. I didn't appreciate what he'd done for me. We all want to be thanked. I'll tell you the story of one rich man in Nigeria, millionaire in Nigeria. He told a friend that he has never been fulfilled. With all his riches and with all the gifts that he's been giving out, the charities he's been supporting, he's never been fulfilled. So this friend of his, who doubles up as his assistant, told him that, "Oh, donate some wheelchairs to an institution that cares for people who are crippled." I don't know if you have ever been in a place like Ghana or Nigeria where cripples actually have to crawl. If you want to move from one place to the other, a family member will have to carry you on his back to take you there. This had so much an impression in my own head that when I first came into this country, I thought there were no cripples here because I never saw anybody crawling on the street or anybody being carried so that he could move from one place to the other. Anyway, so this rich man told his friend, "Go on. You are my assistant. Just organize some wheelchairs for them." So this assistant did organize the wheelchairs. But when it came to the time for him to deliver it, he told his friend, the rich man, I want you to deliver this yourself. Go and give it to them at the institution." So, the man, the rich man, and his friend went to the institution with the wheelchairs and donated it to the charity there. And he spent some time with them. In no time, the children and the crippled people who had their new toy, their new savior, were running around or wheeling it around, playing excitedly. And then it was time for this man to say goodbye to them and go back. As he was about to go, one little boy wheeled his chair to him and held his legs. Held on to his legs, raised his head, and looked at him intently. He kept holding him, so he was baffled and asked, "Why are you doing this?" The little boy said, "I want to draw your face in my mind so that when I go to heaven, or when we go to heaven, I will look out for you. What a way to say thank you. This impressed this man so much, this rich man who has never felt fulfilled, that he became a patron of this institution. If mere mortal men would appreciate the things that we do, how much more would God not appreciate the thanks that we gave him? Psalm 105 gives us a good insight into thanksgiving. The psalm teaches us that we have to thank the Lord by praising him, by worshiping him, testify of his goodness, offer our services to him, and hope in him for what he will do. You can't utter a prayer without saying, "Thank you, Father." The psalmist begins by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord and pray to him. Sing to him. Sing praises to his name." He's asking us to worship the Lord. For many people, worship is just a synonym of music. They think when they come here and the choir sings, they're worshiping God. Worship is more than that. Worship is presenting our whole body to the Lord. Worship involves praying, scripture reading, singing and dancing, confessions, silence, being still, listening to God, giving an offering, and including everything that we do that pleases God. Everything that we do that will put a smile on the face of God. It is emptying ourselves for God. It is saying that, God, you are the Most High. There is no one like you. There is nothing like you. There is no one besides you. I am nothing without you. You have my whole being. You are the one that makes me think. You are the Lord. Lord, you are God. Amen. One thing we should understand is when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, they were worshiping God. There was no music. Music only came into the scene in Genesis chapter 4, verse 21, when Jubal is mentioned. That is when we heard of music and praising of God. But we were worshiping God. Praise God in his sanctuary. That's what Psalm 150 says. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with a lute and harp. Praise him with timbrels and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with cymbals. Praise him with loud sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God is pleased when we praise him. God is pleased when we say, "Thank you, Father." So let's thank him. Let's thank him in every way that we can. Our acts of worship and praise reaches the Lord as a thanksgiving offering. Again, in the psalm that we're looking at, he tells us, "Give thanks to the Lord. Tell about his miracles. Remember the miracles he's done. Remember his wonders and his decisions." We give thanks to the Lord when we give testimonies about what He has done in our life. God is pleased when we publicize the wonders He has done in our lives. It shows how God can do the impossible. The things that have happened to us are some of the most convincing evidence that our God is a faithful God, that our God is alive, that our God can do all things. Yes, our testimonies are the most convincing part of the story that we can tell anybody. When you give a testimony, look at its effect on the people. So how often do you testify? I know that in some churches, giving of testimonies is a norm. It's part of the way they organize their services. Every morning, when that time comes, people will just be streaming to give testimonies. And sometimes the leader will have to say, okay, that's enough. Reserve your testimonies for tomorrow or the next time. Giving testimonies encourages. It helps and informs. Do you remember the woman at the well? In John chapter 4, her testimony brought a whole village to faith. Jesus met this Samaritan at the well and asked her for water. And as the conversations went on, Jesus revealed to her that she wasn't even married. This overwhelmed the woman so much that she went into the village and said, come, meet a man who knows everything about me. Come, meet the man who is the Messiah. Her testimony brought the whole village to faith. Who better to counsel somebody who has lost a relative than somebody who himself has gone through that process? Who better to counsel somebody who is having problems in her marriage or in their marriage than someone who's been able to overcome the problems in their own marriage? Who better to help somebody who is on drugs than somebody who's been able to come out of drugs? God never wastes an experience. He wants to use your experience. So tell it. Tell it on the mountain. Let the whole world know what the Lord has done to you. Our psalmist also tells us that we should trust the Lord. Depend on the Lord and His strength. Always go to Him for help. Put your trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Trusting in God pleases Him. It shows that you have surrendered it all to Him. You proclaim that He is in control and He rewards your faith in Him. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is pleased when you surrender it all to Him. You are saying, thank you, Lord. I know you can do it. Trust in the Lord. It's another way of saying thank you to him. It is worth noting that even though it wasn't specifically in this psalm we're looking at, it is worth noting also that we thank the Lord with our service. And Christ gave gifts to his people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to go and tell the good news, and some to have the work of caring and teaching God's people. Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. Ephesians 4:11-12. Every service of ours that glorifies God is an act of thanksgiving to him. If we welcome people at the door, we say, thank you, God. If we change a light bulb, we say, thank you, God. If we come and sweep the sanctuary, we say, thank you, God. Everything that we do is an act of saying thank you. All service that we perform is saying thank you, Lord. God wants us to thank you. And again, another way that we can thank the Lord is through our gifts of tithes and offering. But let me caution you here. It is not an act of giving to God so that he can give you something back. You give to God in appreciation of what he has done for you. Your tithes and offering should be given with the right motives. It should be given to say, thank you, Lord, and not for anything else. Really, time will not permit me to go too much into details on this one. So I would rather wish to put it at the side and carry on. With the thanksgiving that this psalm tells us to make to the Lord. If you read the synopsis of today's sermon, it states that on this new day, of this new week, of this new year, we come again to recognize our Lord. Not just for what he has done, but for who he is to us. Any thanksgiving that we make is not complete if we don't thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. If we don't recognize the salvation that our Lord and Savior Jesus brought us, then we are not really thanking God. Christmas, a couple of days ago, was Christ at your table? Even now, Christ is standing at the door and knocking. Anyone who hears his voice and opens the door, he will come in and sup with you. It's all about Christ. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's own life for his friends. We need to remember that what Christ has done for us, it's just marvelous. It brings a song into my mouth, but I can't sing. And really, even if I have 1,000 tongues to sing, that will not be enough to say thank you to the Lord. We have to thank the Lord with all our being. Remember the miracles he has done. Remember his wonders. God is a wonderful, loving God. Throughout the Bible, God's people are instructed to stop and remember what He has done for us. All of us have many things to be thankful for. All of us have experienced the love, mercy, and grace of God at work in our lives. All of us should be willing to tell of the greatness of God. Maybe we should take more time to remember how God has had His hands upon our lives. Perhaps the key is not just being able to rejoice in what God has done in the past. We can also remember that in Jesus, our future is also secure. Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus willingly left the glory of heaven to come on a rescue mission to save me and you. Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God the Father. Jesus is here to receive you. If perhaps you haven't been close to Jesus enough, today is the day.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.